Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 51. In this long chapter, we have the rest of Jeremiah's prophecy of judgment against Babylon that we began in chapter 50. Let's begin by reading the first 10 verses of this chapter. Thus says the Lord, "Behold, I will raise up against Babylon a destroying wind. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through in her streets. For Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah, by his God, the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God." Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 51 with some background notes. We saw in our talk on Jeremiah chapter 50 that the big question concerning Jeremiah's long prophecy of judgment against Babylon was, has this prophecy been fulfilled? We said that it was partially fulfilled with a takeover by the Medes and the Persians in 539 BC. But much of this prophecy against Babylon awaits to be fulfilled with the destruction of end-time Babylon, as predicted in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. When Babylon was taken over by the Medes and the Persians in 539 BC, it was not destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah, as predicted in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 40. And it was not a bloodbath and total destruction of the land, as predicted in the verses that we just read here in Jeremiah chapter 51. And the Jewish people did not have to flee from Babylon to escape destruction and to save their lives, verse 6. In fact, Cyrus the Persian issued an edict in 539 BC permitting the Jews to return home to Jerusalem in peace. Verses 7 and 8 about Babylon's sudden fall for intoxicating all of the earth with her immorality and idolatry sound very much like the destruction of end-time Babylon, as described in Revelation chapter 18. Now, before we move to our doctrinal points, let's read the last six verses of this chapter for further background. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, "When you arrive in Babylon and see it and read all these words, then you shall say, 'O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever.' Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, 'Thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her.'" In 593 BC, Sariah, who was the brother of Baruch, by the way, traveled to Babylon with King Zedekiah on some official business. Remember, a number of Jewish captives were already in Babylon as captives at this time. Sariah was to read the prophecy of Babylon's judgment from a scroll that Jeremiah gave him, and then he was to tie it to a stone and throw it into the Euphrates River as an object lesson of the future fall and sinking of Babylon. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for Jeremiah chapter 51. Doctrinal point number one, God can employ any club he chooses to accomplish his purpose. God can employ any club he chooses to accomplish his purpose. Verses 11 through 23. "Make the arrows bright, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, 'Surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance, The Lord of hosts is his name. You are my club or battle axe and weapon of war. For with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also I will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. Our doctrinal point comes from verse 20, where God's war club or battle axe is either the Medes and the Persians in general or Cyrus the Persian in particular. The historical fulfillment of this prophecy is especially in view here in these verses because the Medes are mentioned in verse 11. The Medes and the Persians would overrun Babylon like locusts, verse 14. And nothing could stop God's war club because he was the all-powerful sovereign creator and the God of Israel. He was not like the powerless gods and idols of Babylon, verses 15 through 19. In Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 5, the Lord referred to Assyria as, quote, the rod of my anger. Assyria had been used of God as his rod to discipline the northern kingdom of Israel. And we know that God used Babylon as his rod in disciplining Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah. But now God's club will be the Medes and the Persians, who will shatter and destroy nations and kingdoms, including Babylon, verses 20 through 23. Now, as God used pagan nations in the past for his war clubs to accomplish his purpose, so he can use any club he chooses today to accomplish his purpose. From cruel dictators and atheistic nations on the world stage, down to public officials and corrupt politicians on the local scene, God can employ any club he chooses to accomplish his purpose. Doctrinal point number two, God can destroy any club he chooses that acts against his people. God can destroy any club he chooses that acts against his people. Verses 24 through 58. Notice in verse 24 why Babylon was being destroyed. And I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Babylon was to be destroyed because of the evil they had done in Zion, that is, against God's people. The destruction of Babylon described here in verses 25 and 26 is so complete that it definitely looks on to the complete fulfillment of this prophecy in the last days. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord. And I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Babylon was not burned and torn down by the Medes and the Persians in 539 BC, but it will be in the end times. In verses 27 through 32, we see that the Medes and the Persians had other kingdoms as allies when they took over Babylon. Again, the mention of complete desolation and burning show that this prophecy is still not completely fulfilled, but it will be in the end times. Revelation chapter 18, verses 9 and 10 says that the smoke of Babylon's burning will be seen for miles. Verse 33, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor when it is time to thresh her, yet a little while and the time of her harvest will come. Babylon had been a war club in God's hands, but now she would be threshed and destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. In verses 34 through 40, again we see that the reason why the war club of Babylon was being destroyed by the war club of Persia was because of their acts against God's people. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter. In verses 41 through 44, we have a further description of the fall of Babylon called by a code name Sheshach in verse 41. The Persian troops would come in like a flood, verse 42. And the high and thick defensive wall of Babylon would be to no avail, verse 44. In verses 45 through 48, God's people are told to leave Babylon because of the coming destruction of Babylon under the wrath of God. Again, we must look beyond the return from captivity in 538 BC to the final destruction of Babylon under the wrath of God, when both heaven and earth rejoice. Revelation 16, verse 19. In verses 49 through 51, again, we see the reason why Babylon would be destroyed for her acts against God's people, both past and present. Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, for strangers have come into the sanctuaries or holy places of the Lord's house. The anti-Semitism and desolation of God's holy temple by Babylon would be judged. Now, it doesn't take much insight into history to see the proof of our doctrinal point that God can destroy any club he chooses that acts against his people. Think of Nazi Germany, for example. And the anti-Semitism of modern Iran will not go unjudged. God can destroy any club he chooses that acts against his people. Now, what about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 51? Remember the rise and fall of Babylon. Remember the rise and fall of Babylon. Our practical application comes from verses 52 through 58 of our chapter. Though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations, because of the fire, and they shall be weary. Remember the rise and fall of Babylon. The history of Babylon has cycled between rising under man's pride and falling under God's judgment. Look at verse 53. Though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, does that ring a bell? Think of the pride of mankind displayed at the Tower of Babel, where they tried to build a ziggurat reaching up to heaven. God brought their efforts down with a confusion of languages. And look at verse 58. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken. Herodotus, the ancient Greek historian, said that the wall of proud Babylon was 12 feet thick, so that several chariots could drive abreast on top of the wall. But where is that glory and strength now? And when we think of the rise and fall of end-time proud and idolatrous Babylon, described more fully in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, as well as Zechariah chapter 5, it should humble us and warn us about our own possible problems with pride. Remember the rise and fall of Babylon.